Every Tuesday quite a few years now, actually, we've had the Live with the Jazz Cat show. And those of you that would like to go back to the archives and hear the exclusive interviews held only on For Locals Only show on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio over those years, every Tuesday around 5:14, you can go to the Live with the Jazz Cat show on his website, and that is www.thejazzcat.net. Okay? And remember, it's thejazzcat.net. Now, if you're in the car and you can't even remember that, then you can always go to our website of the show, which is forlocalsonly.com, and all that information is right there at your fingertips. Now, over the years, you've heard such great interviews as Dede Bridgewater, right in standing in line at the Grammy Awards. You've gone to the living room, basically, and during a live rehearsal with Dinah Reeves prior to a tour with Russell Malone. You also went to a live recording session where George Duke, the legendary George Duke, the producer, was presiding, and certainly heard comments from all the people there, you know, such as Jeffrey Keyser and Russell Malone and Dinah Reeves. Many, many great interviews. Charles Lloyd, Ornette Coleman, just to name a few. The list goes on. It's the who's who's list of jazz. So without further ado, let me introduce the Jazz Cat himself, Leroy Downs. Hi, Leroy.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Hey, it's all about you, and I'll let you take it away.
Man, I was enjoying listening to you talk.
I tell no lies.
Well, you know, we always try to keep it hot, man, and we talk to the best people in the music because I got my finger on the pulse. I know what's happening. Which is why we bring, you know, the young and the old, all the cats that are out there doing it. And I got one with me today, Mr. Robert Glasper. What's going on, man?
Ain't nothing to it. Ain't nothing to it.
Ain't nothing to it. Well, you know, there must be something to it, man, because your music is pretty mesmerizing. I mean, some of your melodies are like these spiritual mantras of serenity and peace.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, I feel that. So, you know, usually when I see you, it's on the scene at a jazz festival or a conference, and you're surrounded by, you know, the happiness of all your musical peers. But when you sit down and play, man, there seems to be a whole new world of sensibilities that you access. How many different Robert Glaspers are there?
there's a few. I mean, I tend to, like, most people know me to be, you know, a happy-go-lucky type dude, cracking jokes, stuff like that, but, you know, cracking jokes and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, I have my dark side, you know, when I get sad, and when I'm feeling a certain way, you know, I let all my emotions out through the music, and the way I write, and all that kind of stuff, so I guess the only time people can see that side of me most of the time is this. Through my music, because, you know, if I'm sad or if I'm going through some things, I tend to kind of close up and be to myself, so most people don't even know, so that probably just comes through, you know, when you hear it, you're like, yeah, I can tell you're going through something right there.
Right.
In that area, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, it must be a blessing to have the talent to paint your thoughts and communicate without words. I mean, what are some of the messages in your universal music language? Is there an incident where you played something and someone responded to it just the way you planned it, or how does it all work?
No, man. I just try to, because the thing is, like, music affects people differently. So I might have a certain mood in mind when I write because it's a certain, maybe a certain event or a certain person or, I don't know, something happened where it made me feel a certain way and I wrote this piece, but then somebody else will hear it. But it makes them react a different way than I was reacting. You know what I mean? But either way, it made a change in that person's life somehow. You know what I mean? So I don't necessarily have a premeditated, like, when I play this, I want you to feel this.
Right.
But it's more like, this is what I was feeling when I wrote this and when I was playing it. So this is what it is. So however it affects you, that's how it affects you, you know what I mean? You know. But.
Well, you know, jazz is a universal language, man. And
exactly.
When you hear your playing, you do demonstrate all kind of different moods. I was just listening to some of the music today, And I work at a real estate office during the day. And while I was listening, it took me away from all that and just got me in this meditative zone. Like I said, it was like a mantra of serenity and peace, and I wasn't bothered by anything, man. And that's a beautiful thing to convey.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, you know, like Miles, you know, you have something in mind for the cats in your band, but you let everybody take their own path and hopefully arrive at different destinations each time you play.
Exactly. That's exactly the vibe, yeah, because I get bored very easily. So I think I have a really short attention span, too.
Are you on medicine, man? No.
Huh?
You're not on that ADD stuff, are you?
No. I just have a random short attention span. So I get bored really easily, even with myself. So, you know, I can't play the same thing every night, the same way. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in bands like that. Like, I've been in bands that, you know, they like the exact same thing, the exact same way, and this is what it's going to be, you know, how things going to turn out. And some people take all the jazz out of jazz, you know, so it's like the whole purpose is gone. So for me, like, the cats that I have in my band, I have them in my band because of what they can bring to the music, not how I can change them to, you know, make the music sound. I like them to bring something to the music.
Right.
Because they'll take it somewhere that I didn't even think it would go. You know what I mean? Like they have this imagination where it just takes me on the ride too. So not only is the audience getting a ride, but I'm getting a ride as well. So we're all surprised together where we end up.
That keeps the music organic, man, and it's so good that you do that, because believe me, there's a thing when I see jazz musicians perform, and if it's some sort of show where you're trying to control the emotions of the audience by putting some sort of dynamic at some sort of certain specific time,
right?
That doesn't work, man.
Not at all. You can't be. It's almost like church. You know, you can't tell the Holy Ghost when to come and when not to come.
That's right.
You know, he gonna come when it calls for it to come. You can't cry on cue.
No, you can't.
This is I'm reality TV.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? This ain't soap opera.
You're listening to
soap opera jazz.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to Robert Glasper right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat, and I'm Leroy Downs. And it's on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, I just interviewed Derek Hodge last week, and like yourself, the church was and is still a fertile starting ground for the music. I mean, I believe that all of our thoughts and sensibilities are like gifts from above, and those who are more in touch with the divine spirits receive their messages more clearly.
Exactly.
Well, I would imagine that it's this creative clarity that helps you, you know, provide you with some ideas when you compose your music.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, for sure. Yeah, I grew up in I grew up in church. You know what I mean. So it definitely helps me. Like I don't force anything. Like I don't think I've ever forced. When I try to force a song, it's the worst shit ever. You know, everybody has those. You know, with every artist, you know, has those. Everything they do isn't good. You know, it's like Michael Jordan with a missed shot.
Right.
You know what I mean? He missed more shots than he made. You know what I mean? But you don't think about that. You think all the shots he made, like, wow, he's great. This is what you concentrate on. So, you know, just as many compositions that I have that people like, I got 5-10 times more that are just as bad,
right.
You know, somewhere else. So, but anyway, yeah, and those come from when I try to force things, and I just kind of let it come, and, you know, I think it is God that kind of brings that, whatever it is, that enlightenment to me, or that situation that makes me, that inspiration, you know, allow for that inspiration to be there so I can do that, you know what I mean?
Well, it seems like, you know, most of the most of these beautiful players that are in the business today, the experienced ones and the young ones, you know, that's the way to go, man. They're not... There are some that I do see control the music, but when you allow the audience to be free and be able to grab what they need to grab from the music and just experience it freely without any framework around it, you know.
Exactly.
It always comes out to be beautiful.
Exactly. You know, and we're not trying to. I'll be telling cats, like, it's so funny, like, I go to clubs or I listen to music and I'll hear cats try to recapture a certain era.
Right.
But it's like, that, they, you can't play, even if it's something as simple as Stella by Starlight. When those cats played it, back then, it meant something different for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? They were in a whole different era, a whole different time period, a whole different generation. So many things other were happening back then, you know what I mean? So when they played it, even though it was simple, it was that, it meant something else, and it sounded like something else. It felt like something else back then. We got people now that try to capture that, but it's like they're just, it's really pretentious, and they're just, you can't copy a specific, like, error. You know what I mean? You can't copy that time period when, you know, when Train was playing My Favorite Things. You can't copy that time period and that era and that time where all that was happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's different.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Well, you know Tarion Gully?
Yeah.
Well, Tarion Gully has one of the sweetest beards around. I'm like, man, that's nice. Now, I grew a beard, but there's no way that I could twist it up like Tarion's because
Right. Everybody
wouldn't be real, it wouldn't be mine, I wouldn't own
exactly.
it.
Exactly, exactly.
Just like the music.
Exactly. It's the same thing as the music, exactly, you know what I mean? And, you know, that's a different time. They were playing the music of their generation and their time period, and they were playing the music that was a reflection of what they were going through at the time. So that's what we need to do now, you know what I mean? So people wonder why, Rob, you know, you adding hip hop and stuff in your music. Why are you doing that? That's not jazz. Yes, it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is what Miles was doing. This is what Train was doing. Everybody was incorporating. This was incorporating what was around them at the time in their music and playing with those cats. You know, you look on the albums, you see Herbie on Stevie album. You see Ron Carter on this album. You see all these people. You know, there were people that were mixing and matching and doing all these things that was in their generation. So it's you know, it's like so many people's focus is on the 50s and the 40s and the 30s, and then they wonder why people don't dig jazz now, or as many people don't dig it now, because you have nothing to give for today.
Right.
That stuff doesn't apply to this today. Doesn't apply right now. You know what I'm saying? It's all about application to me. You know, I'm getting a bigger audience now because of what I do, how I'm applying what I know and what I love.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can't go up to a 15-year-old kid right now and shove Dizzy Gillespie down his throat.
Right.
He wasn't around back then. You could shove Dizzy, it's a different time.
Well, you know, what ends up happening is that these people end up finding the music on their own. I mean, as a pianist, influenced by the intoxicating music of your generation, your direction, you know, was to venture through the cerebral caverns of jazz, which is great. I mean, when I was raised, I was listening to hip-hop and soul as well, but there's something, a spirit, something that guided me and makes this jazz music my home.
Right.
I mean, what is the key to getting your peers to get jazz to rate higher, you know, in their iPod? I mean, in terms of listening to jazz more than the other music more. I mean, I know that the percentages are probably like 3/4 to 1/4.
Right. Well, what I figured out is like I said, the application, because it's like, especially nowadays, the whole live music thing is a very, you know, it's very scarce right now. Just the whole live music aspect of it. Most of the music that our generation now is listening to are programmed music. You know what I mean?
Right.
Programmed tracks, programmed this and that. So when you bring up something that's very old sounding and it's live music, they have no connection to that. Well, like, luckily, my mother she loved jazz. So I would come in the house and there'll be Oscar Peterson and Ella Fitzgerald. And like, she loved Ella Fitzgerald. So that's where I get it from. Like, she was my connection to it. So I'm like, oh, okay, I understand this. But most of the kids now, when they're growing up, their parents are listening to the same thing that they're listening to. They got the same hip-hop CDs. You know what I mean? So it's like, that they don't even have their parents to be like, yo, you need to listen to this. This is some good music, you know? Because people my age had our parents to kind of guide us what good music was, or at least give us some options. You know what I mean? So I feel that now, and to get people back into that, or get them, or introduce jazz, is to make it accessible to something that they kind of can understand. Like, they understand hip hop now. So if you give them a little something, most young cats listen to hip hop. They're mostly driven by rhythm. You know what I mean? They're driven by the beat. You know what I'm saying? You can put anything on top of a dope hip hop beat, and cats will buy it, or cats will listen to it faster than you would check it in.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's where I come from. Like, I love hip hop and alternative rock and all that kind of stuff naturally. So when I do it, I'm not doing it just for the purpose of trying to get some young cats to hear me. A lot of cats are doing that now. A lot of cats are incorporating hip hop and all kinds of stuff in their music, and you can tell that they don't even really know what it is. They don't even do it right. They're just doing it because they think it's hot right now.
Right.
But I do it naturally because I love it. So that's why I think I'm getting a more of a younger audience. So I'm getting, you know, all kinds of church cats and people who don't normally listen to jazz buying my records and then asking me, yo, who else could I buy? I kind of like this. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the fact that I have Radiohead songs on my joint, I do tributes to hip hop cats on my albums, and, you know, we play live hip hop beat. When we play live, we'll go into some beats that people know, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then I'll improvise over them. So then it's like, wow, okay. But, you know, I kind of understand that. But that's cool, you know what I mean? Then you can introduce them to, oh, okay, I like that. What was that? So. Then you can introduce them to Ahmad Jamal.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then from there, then they get better understanding, and then it could just keep going. You know what I mean? Then they'll understand it.
You're listening to Robert Glasper right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show is called Live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs, and it's on the Four Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. You know, you play with so many different, jazz greats and, you know, fellas from the hip-hop and soul industry as well. I mean, I think that there's so many similarities between jazz and hip-hop because essentially they both seek out this rhythmic core that you were talking about, and once it's reached, the artist, whoever's in the driver's seat, provides, you know, the recipient with an ability to mentally and physically move their body. It's like control with a lot of freedom.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. It's, And the thing about as far as like what I do, like when I play with certain people, I always play with people who do have an understanding of jazz and who have an understanding of improvising music and just doing stuff for the moment and making music. You know what I mean? Like I have a hard time trying to play with somebody who doesn't have that mindset.
Right.
Because that's how I am. You know, I can't, you know. So when I play with, you know, Mos Def or Q-Tip or Bilal, you know what I mean, something like that, it's always still like a jazz gig to me.
Right.
You know, I played with Q-Tip last night, and I feel like I played a jazz gig because he lets me play. And he's always listening out for me to do something I didn't do last night. You know what I mean? And then he'll want to capitalize on that. He'll be like, yo, loop that. Play that again. Woo, that's hot. Play that again. Loop that. And go on to something else. You know what I mean? It's always something like that. So, you know, it still has that same feeling for me when I play those. You know?
Well, that's beautiful, man. And you play an important role in the music because what you're doing is you're playing yourself. But even by combining your music with all of the different hip-hop artists, the music's becoming one. It's becoming united. And that's really going to help jazz out tremendously. I mean, we are the first American art form, although nobody in America seems to know that.
Exactly.
We'll get back to that, you know.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Robert Glasper, man, it's been great talking with you, brother.
Oh, it's over already?
It's that time, man. It's that time. It goes quickly.
Indeed. I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Robert Glasper on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, on the show live with Jazz Cat. And I'm Leroy Downs. Thanks so much.
Indeed. Appreciate it, Leroy.
You got it.
Thank you, gentlemen. Another fine interview with the Jazz Cat, Leroy Downs. And I guarantee you, if you go to his website, www.thejazzcat.net, it's all there, archived. The great interviews, all with the jazz luminaries, the up-and-comers, and also the legends, all there at the Jazz Cat, live with the Jazz Cat. His website again, thejazzcat.net. Or if you can't remember that, it's at just go to forlocalsonly.com, and all the information is there as well. Robert Glasper, the album In the Element, and In My Element, I apologize. Robert Glasper, pianist, In My Element, Vicente Archer on bass, Damian Reed on drums. And you can get all the information and even a replay of this interview on the Jazz Cats website. We'll be right back with more on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, and we are broadcasting live from the Eastwood Building on a beautiful Tuesday, October 30th, 2007, right from the Carmel by the Sea Studios, overlooking the world-famous Hog's Breath, and also situated where the Jazz and Blues Company, the famous, world-famous Jazz and Blues Company store is situated. We'll be right back. I'm Gary Hamada.